Our scripture today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25 to chapter 5, verse 2. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible if you would like. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this, your word, which we're about to read together. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit reigns with us this day, and that as we hear your word read, we ask you that our hearts and our minds are open to receive your word as you desire us to. We also pray for your mercy upon the expounding of the word, that it too is used for your glory alone, that your spirit reigns here also. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, chapter 5, verse 2. Hear now God's word. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The NRSV version starts this section off with roles for the new life. Sermon title today. I like it, roles for the new life. Paul was extremely concerned with the way Christians live. He loved Christ so much with his entire life, his entire being, his entire heart, that he went from neighborhood to neighborhood, community to community, country to country. As much as he could, he went around sharing the gospel of Christ and establishing churches. And these churches, as he looked at them, he desired that they live in a Christian way. And he wanted them to live in such a way that people knew that they were Christian. He believed with his whole heart, and rightfully so, because he saw it in his own life, that when you accept Christ in your life, you change. You're different. You cannot remain the way that you were. Christ changed Paul's life. He went from persecuting the church to giving the church his life. Paul saw people's lives needed to change. And so much of his letters were dedicated to roles for a new life. And when we think about in our own life how we need to be closer to Jesus, there's all kinds of things that we should be doing. We should be reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, giving our lives to Christ on a daily basis. In fact, there's this T-shirt slogan that, if it's not a T-shirt slogan, it should be. Me and Jesus, Jesus and me. When we think about relationship with Christ, that's oftentimes what first comes into my mind. How is my relationship with Jesus? What does it look like? Am I drawing closer to Christ? Do I know Jesus? Jesus and me and Jesus. In fact, there's this symbol, this emblem. I talked about, Jesus And who Jesus is, you know, this is one of my favorite internet memes. It wasn't from the internet, but from a movie. It says, "Buddy Jesus," that whole happy Jesus. It was a way to rebrand the Catholic Jesus. You know, Jesus bloody and dying on a cross. You know, that doesn't sell well. So in the movie, they changed to Buddy Jesus. What I think of, me and Jesus, Jesus and me, you know, me and you, Christ. You're going to walk with me throughout life. I'm going to lean upon you. You're going to give me mercy and grace. You're going to make my life better. You're going to cure all that ails me. You're going to protect me from my enemies. Me and Jesus, Jesus and me. Reminds me of a story that I heard ages ago, and I tell you how long ago I heard it. I was a teenager, probably 13, maybe even 11 or 12, at the church in Port View, which is my home church. I tell you this because it's important to the story. There was a man who was sitting outside because he heard that he was going to get an extremely important telephone call from God. And he has been waiting to hear this from God for his entire life. And he heard that today God was going to call. And so he brought his telephone outside onto the porch with him, where he sat in an easy chair, you know, one of those folding lawn chairs, you know, the kind with the interweaving plastic, sitting on those with his cup of glass of Turner's iced tea. With a little lemon wedge for fun right next to him. And he brought his telephone outside. Now, it's important for me to note the kind of telephone. It was a pale blue with hints of green rotary phone with the receiver sitting on top, you know, and you pick up the receiver and the buttons pop up so you know you're not on the hook. And so he had to make sure that the line reached from the house. This is all important because this is, again, when I heard it, this is what I thought of in my head. Super excited about this telephone call. And this guy's walking down the street while this man's sitting out on his porch. And the man says, "So, what you doing?" And the guy who's sitting on the porch said, "I'm going to get a telephone call that I've been waiting for my entire life today." And the man was super excited for him, the one on the sidewalk, Jim. And Frank was on the porch. And Jim says, "I'm super excited for you. That's good, man." Jim, who's on the porch again? Frank. Frank says, thanks for that. I really appreciate that." And Jim all of a sudden moves his head around and he's sniffing the air and he says, "I got to go. I'll be right back." And he runs down the street, and a couple of blocks away, there's a fire just started in a house. And he runs back to the guy, Frank, and he says, "The house on fire. I need to use the telephone. We have to call the fire company." And Frank says, "I'm sorry, I got to wait for this call, you know, before the day of call waiting and answering machines, that sort of thing. I have to wait for this call. I don't want to miss it." And so Jim runs to another house, uses their phone, fire's taken care of, everyone's okay. Jim comes back and says to Frank, "So did you get that call yet?" Frank says, I didn't get it yet. And he says, "Well, I hope you get it soon." And then Jim heard a noise and he ran a couple blocks away and there was a car accident, a very bad car accident, needed immediate attention. And Jim runs back to Frank and says, "Can I use your phone?" And he says, "I'm sorry, I'm waiting for this call. Can't let you use this phone." And so Jim runs to another house, uses the phone, everyone's fine. Jim comes back to Frank and says, "Did someone call? Did you get your call yet?" He says, "No, I didn't get my call yet." And he says, "Well, I hope you get it soon." And then heard gunshots, and Jim runs, and he checks, and there was a shooting. And he runs back to Frank, and he says, "Can I use your phone?" And Frank says, no, you can't use my phone. I need to wait for this very important telephone call. I've been waiting for my entire life for this call." And Jim says, "Okay, I understand." And he runs, and he gets help from another telephone. Jim comes back and says, "Did you get that call yet?" And as soon as he said that, telephone rang. And Frank, so excited, he fell off his chair. He knocked over his Turner's iced tea. The ice cubes went everywhere. And he picks up the phone with a shaking hand, and he says, "Hello?" And he turns and looks at Frank and he says, it's for you. And so I've been challenged by this story throughout my entire life. We build up this relationship with Jesus. You know, Jesus and me and Jesus. Jesus will help me, will heal me, will support me. Jesus will give me hope. Jesus will help me out. And I have to read the Bible and I have to pray. And all this stuff is important. All this stuff is part of being a Christian. But when Paul wrote his rules for a new life for the church, when we read the rules for the new life for the church, we notice that they're not individual based, but that the rules that Paul has written is how to live within a community. That Jesus himself said that the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, me and Jesus, Jesus and me, and love your neighbor as yourself, that these two are intimately interwoven. Paul says here, putting away all falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. This individualism, which, you know, me and Jesus, Jesus and me, is all throughout these United States. There's an old saying, I know that all of you are, again, intimately familiar with this saying. I know you've heard it before. I know you've probably said it before. And I think it really comes up in a person's life a lot when they're a teenager. And the saying, have you heard the saying before? It's none of your business. Know that saying? How many times have you heard someone tell you it's none of your business? A few? A couple? How many of you had told other people it's none of your business? Anyone ever say that? Have I ever said that? I'm not going to tell you. That's none of your business. It's none of your business. We say this because I think, honestly, we're afraid. We're afraid of what people might say, what they might think. The truth is that as a community, we're very, very bad at hearing what is going on in other people's lives. Self-righteous judgment sometimes immediately kicks in. You what? I can't believe that you can't stop using drugs. I haven't used drugs a day in my life. It's super easy. And drugs is ruining your life. It's hard to tell people sometimes things because we don't know how it will be handled. We don't know how it will be taken. And so we go to, it's none of your business. Because it's easier that way. But Paul recognizes, and one of the major themes in the Bible is that no man's an island. And that if we are, we're to build bridges between one another. That thing that we're struggling with, maybe if we were able to not deal with it just by ourselves, but get other people. Paul wants us to speak in truth with one another. Come on. Paul wants us to speak in truth with one another. Truth out of love. Truth out of true caring and hope. Not out of this self-righteous judgmentalness, you know, my life is better than yours kind of thing. But how can I walk with you? How can I be with you? How can I support with you? I love you in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. It says that we're going to be angry, but don't sin in that anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger either. Don't let it fester. Don't make room for the devil. I like this one. Thieves must give up stealing. Paul doesn't say, throw a thief in jail, cut off their hands. Paul says, help them. Encourage them. Be with them. Help them get a job. Help them to labor and work honestly with their own hands. And not just for their own sake, but then so that they have something to share with those who are needy. Again, this idea of community. That we're not just, again, stop stealing things, So that you can work and buy yourself stuff. But stop stealing things so that then you can work and help to provide for those who need, along with yourself. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up. I think it was only next week that I said that social media is a cesspool of anger and putting people down and disrespect. That's not all it is. There's some good things in there. There is some encouragement, but sometimes you really got to look hard to find it. Because we feel like we should be able to say anything we want. But that's for us. Paul wants us to help build each other up, to encourage one another, to give them words of grace to hear. And don't make the Holy Spirit sad. How do you make the Holy Spirit sad? You use bitterness and wrath, anger and wrangling, slander and malice. But instead, put those things away and instead be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Me and Jesus, Jesus and me, is a part of Christianity. How am I with my soul is important. But that's never where it stops. As a community of Jesus Christ, Jesus draws us together so that we can love and support one another. We can share those unspokens in such a way where people then support and love us through whatever it is that we're going through. Sometimes we do feel like islands. But through Jesus Christ and the cross which he died, bridges are built. Jane was right. We have people who are shut in nursing homes and feel very much like this island. Christ is calling us to love and support, to build bridges and to remind people who are around us, and not just those within the church, but the community at large. They are not alone. And we are here to help one another go through those things that we're going through. And I pray that through the encouragement of Jesus Christ in our life, we do just that. Thanking God for those moments that we have with Christ and with one another. Close with this final benediction. May the Lord keep you from all evil. He will guide your life. Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen and amen.